Good afternoon. This meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order at 1:33 p.m. We are in Belt's Room 105 of the Thomas Stewart Building in the beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska. Today is Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Members present are Senator Merrick, Senator Dunbar, Senator Gray Jackson, and myself, Senator Bjorkman. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off or silence your cell phones. I'd like to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Lisa Denny, and our LAO moderator, Dylan Williams. Thank you for joining us and providing service and support for our committee meeting today. Today we have one item on our agenda. It is Senate Bill 182, extending the Big Game Commercial Services Board. To present the bill, we have my staff member, Ramey Matuszewski. Ramey, if you would please join us at the table. And state your name for the record. I would also like to state for the record that Senator Bishop has joined us at 1:35. You're right on time.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ramey Matuszewski, staff to Senator Bjorkman. And I am here to present the bill before you, Senate Bill 182, an act to extend the Big Game Commercial Services Board. The purpose of this bill is to review the legislative audit of the Big Game Commercial Services Board and to give the legislature the opportunity to review the board's actions. The Big Game Commercial Services Board was created for the purpose of licensing and regulating the activities of providers of commercial services to big game hunters in the interest of the state's wildlife resources. The audit in question found that the board is operating in the public's interest. However, there was occasional lack of adequate documentation for board licenses. The audit also questioned whether two private landholder board seats continue to be necessary for effective regulation. Legislative audit conducted the bill and recommended extending the board for 6 years. However, the issues brought up in the audit revolving around staffing and systemic issues, which are related to the operations of CBPL, not necessarily the Big Game Commercial Services Board. While we appreciate the recommendation of the audit, we felt that these issues were best addressed through the review process and the budgetary process, rather than shortening the board extension and creating more work for legislative budget and audit to review the board in 6 years rather than eight. I have with me Legislative Auditor Chris Curtis to speak to the audit, Director Sylvan Robb from the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing to speak to the points in the audit relating to CBPL and how they are working to address those points. I also have online Jason Bunch, chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, to speak to the work of the board to address the points put forth in the audit.
Thank you, Mr. Matuszewski. Are there any initial questions for Mr. Matuszewski? Seeing none, I'd like to invite State Auditor Ms. Curtis to join us at the table. Ms. Curtis, thank you for being with us here today. If you could please state your name for the record and just talk over some of the points in the audit for the committee, please.
Sure. For the record, this is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. Division of Legislative Audit conducted an audit of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. This is a sunset audit. The purpose of a sunset audit is to determine whether a board or commission is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. So I believe you all have a copy of the report in your packets, and it's dated July of 2023. So as I already explained, we did find that this board is serving the public's interest. We believe that they are conducting their meetings in an effective manner. They're supporting statutory changes when deemed necessary, and they're actively amending their regulations. But we did find that board licenses were not consistently supported by appropriate documentation. And the two private landholder board seats were vacant or had extended absences during the audit period. We recommend that this board be extended 6 years. That's 2 years less than the 8-year maximum allowed for in statute. And in general, I make that recommendation in light of the audit findings. Additionally, this board, over the years, it has had some issues. I looked back on the extension recommendations or the extensions it's received over the last four extensions. So going back to 2008, it got a four-year, then it got a three-year extension, I made that recommendation that if to only extend them if they had a deficit over $1 million back in those days. And so they were extended only 3 years. And then the last time I recommended an 8-year extension, and the legislature bumped it down to a 5-year. For this particular audit, we didn't really find any big issues at all, except for licensure documentation, and that is really does fall on behalf of the division staff. Although licensing is a board function, and the board is ultimately responsible for the oversight of that function. In regards to the sunset process and whether something's a DCBPL finding or whether it's a board finding and how that may impact my recommendation for extension. This is a legislative oversight process, and when we find things at the division level, and oftentimes it is at the division level, it's sometimes it's not really part of the board's direct functions. I don't change my recommendation if it's solidly a board or whether it's division, because it's generally an oversight function, the sunset process. And so for this particular board, you see two recommendations, one directed to the board, and that's regarding two, and this is on page 13, we have two recommendations. First, I'll start with the DCBPL one. We recommend that the DCBPL director improve oversight procedures to ensure the required licensure documentation is obtained and reviewed. So we tested 25 newly issued licenses, and we did find two. They were not fully supported by documentation. And then we tested 15 renewed licenses and found that they were all generally not supported by all the documentation required by the regulations. And then moving on to Rec 2, this is to the board to consider whether the two private landholder board seats should continue to be necessary, are they continuing to be necessary for effective regulation? So for this audit cycle, we found that one of the board seats was vacant for 12 months and then had unexcused absences for 7 months. Then the other board seat had absences or vacancies for 31 months. Our audit period was 44 months, to give you perspective on what that means. We did have a similar finding in the 2018 audit, and that's why we ended up bringing this forward in a more formal capacity to the board to consider whether those two landholder seats continue to be necessary for effective regulation.
Thank you. Senator Dunbar has a question.
I'll wait for the end of the presentation.
Oh, very good.
Okay, so just kind of jumping back now on page 8, if I can direct your attention to page 8. This is the standard licensing information. Well, you'll see this type of thing in every occupational board sunset. So as of January 2023, this board had 1,438 active licenses. And if you jump forward to page 10, you'll see the schedule of revenues and expenditures for this particular board. Like I said earlier, at one point, this board had a deficit of over $1 million. And they were able to climb out of that hole. And you can see that as of February 2023, this board had a surplus of over $850,000. In light of that growing surplus, the board did eliminate the annual report filing fees, as well as reduce the assistant guide license fees. And those changes were to be effective for the December 2023 licensing cycle. If I then now jump forward to the management's response to the audit, where you can hear or learn what management thinks of the recommendations and the conclusions. So on page 25 is the Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. She generally agrees with the conclusions and the Rec 1 regarding licensure documentation. She does not address Rec 2 as that is directed to the board. Jumping to the next page, 27, you will find the board's response to the audit. In response to Rec 1, the chair does not believe that it that the finding really acknowledges what he perceives as improvements that the division has made over the last 3 years. So he put that on record. And then in response to Rec 2, the chair does not believe that a change in board composition is necessary. He believes the Office of the Governor should do a better job in communicating the opportunities to serve on the board. Ready for questions.
Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is interesting, the I guess it might have an issue of time frame, but the chair here says, we currently have one private owner seat vacant and one filled who is very engaged and productive, but it sounded like they had a 17 and 31 month absence, so there's a little bit of inconsistency there. Mm-hmm. But my question was, how does statute or regulation define private landowner? And what I mean by that is it someone who literally has to own a large swath of land or a lodge or something like that, or you know, the largest landowners in Alaska, private landowners, are Alaska Native corporations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, for example, could an Alaska Native corporation have a representative that could sit in that seat?
Through the chair, that might be a good question for the board chair himself. But it does include the Native corps.
It does.
When considering a private landowner. Yeah.
Okay.
And we do make a point, as we did in the last audit, that there's not that big a pool when it comes to the group that qualifies for that private landholder designation. And that has been one of the reasons why it's been hard to get people to serve, is there's not that big a pool to choose from.
Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
So it must not then in the statute, and I don't have the statute in front of me, but it must not be then just a sort of vernacular understanding of private landholder, because there's certainly a lot of private landholders in Alaska, right? There must be some additional requirement than I own a house and a piece of land.
Through the chair, large private landholder.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, another potential solution could be to reduce the amount of land someone has to own to sit in that seat, for example, if you want to expand that pool.
Through the chair, that could be a code question for the board. What we do note in the audit is that the board themselves did not view the lack of participation from those two seats as a problem for regulation. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see it the finding and recommendation. If it hasn't been a problem for the last two sunset cycles, are those folks really necessary for effective regulation?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There are further questions for Ms. Curtis? I have a question or two. As you've worked through this process with many boards, Ms. Curtis, what are some things that the Department of Corporation Business and Professional Licenses could do? What could the division do to improve management oversight of licensure procedures? What are some tangible things that the division could undertake that would improve the filing of all the required documentation and making sure that that's reviewed and retained to support licensure? Mm-hmm.
So in general, what you see for good internal controls would be checklists, supervisory review, good training, good written procedures. Those are the types of controls that help ensure that you have, in light of turnover, which is what the department has been experiencing for many years now, is constant turnover in both the staff and the supervisors. When that happens, written procedures are really important.
Very good. You mentioned staff. Is there a certain staff level that's often assigned to a professional board like this one, and what staff level does this board have as it compares to other similar boards?
Well, that might be a good question for the department, but what you see is typically staff having multiple boards, unless a board might have a specifically funded position, like say medical board or nursing board, you might have staff. But for this board, I'm guessing that they have multiple boards that a staff might be serving. That's a good question but there's no specific position count. It would be how many licensees you might have and how complex is the profession.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next, we'll have Director Sylvan Robb from the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing. Ms. Robb, thank you for joining us today. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sylvan Robb. I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing at the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. As Legislative Auditor Curtis outlined, the department did not have any issue with the finding that was directed to the division. Much of the period of time that was covered by the audit, it started in FY20 and went through February of 2023 was during COVID, and I think this committee is quite familiar with the fact that the division struggled with very high vacancy rates and turnover. At one point, we had 35% vacancy in our professional licensing team, and over 50% of the staff were new. I think were the audit to be conducted now for the period since that time, much, much better results would be found. So the staff working on this program were hired at a time when we were really kind of in crisis mode. And so didn't have time to provide as robust training as we certainly do now, and didn't have time to provide the oversight. In the absence of occupational licensing examiners, supervisors are jumping in to ensure that people are getting licensed. Obviously, for any occupation that requires a professional license, if you don't have that license, you cannot work. And so making sure that people were getting those licenses as quickly as possible definitely detracted from our ability to train new staff. But we're in a much better place now.
Very good. Thank you. Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Good to see you. Glad you're kicking us off here today. In response to just looking at the board chair's comment on the last paragraph, the board and DCBBO and the Office of the Commission must do a better job in communicating the vacant position. Has that happened from your shop, and have you reached out to that office and talked about pathways forward to better communicating these open positions and advertising for them?
Yeah, through the chair to Senator Bishop. Certainly the department is in frequent communication with the governor's Office of Boards and Commissions, who appoints the members of this board as well as many of our boards. CBPL alone has 136 board members when all of our seats are filled. And the Department of Commerce has more than that even. And so we're definitely constantly working on communication, trying to ensure that they have awareness and insight into seats that are open, and work with the boards as people who are part of that profession and have good connections with folks in the industry to try to drum up some interest in applying for the positions. So it's an ongoing effort, to say the least.
Thank you.
Other questions? I have a couple of questions. Were there people who applied for positions on this board that were not appointed?
Mr. Chair, that is a question that you would have to direct to the governor's office, where boards and commissions lives.
Very good. And in regards to the finances of the board having a surplus right now, what is their kind of ongoing cash flow position? Do they have a positive cash flow? Are they continuing to build additional money? What does that look like?
Mr. Chair, so AS 0801065 requires that the division set licensing fees to be approximately equal to the cost of running the program. As Ms. Curtis noted, at one point, this program was in a fairly substantial deficit. As she also noted, they have climbed out of that deficit. At the time of the audit, they had about $850,000. As you might expect, professional licenses are good for 2 years, and so there's quite a bit of fluctuation from year to year, because in the renewal year, obviously, each program generates the majority of its revenue during that 1 year, and then just sees revenue from people who are reinstating or new licensees in the off year. Because we had had to raise fees to reduce the deficit for this program, we are loath to ever put ourselves in a position where, having just raised fees, we reduce fees and then would have to raise fees again. So we were conservative in our estimate of the fee reductions to be implemented in the program. But as noted by Ms. Curtis, fee reductions have been implemented to address that surplus that the program has. So we reduced fees for the assistant guides, $100 for Alaskan guides and $200 for out-of-state guides, and then removed the fee for filing hunt records, which was $300 annually. So we're going to take stock after a year of that fee position and see where we are. And if it still seems like there's additional room to reduce fees, then we'll take that step again. But it's challenging for the licensees if the fees are constantly bouncing around and increasing and decreasing, increasing and decreasing. And so we try to be conservative in our estimate of what that revenue might be.
Understood. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the deficit and what caused it. I'm glad that there's no longer one, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about it.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, that was well before my time. I will be happy to get some more information on what the cause of that deficit was and provide that to the committee, but any information I provided right now would be speculation.
Thank you. I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director. Next, we have Board Chairman Jason Bunch, Chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Mr. Bunch, when you are ready, please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Senators. I appreciate your time today. For the record, my name is Jason Bunch. I'm the Chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. You have my responses to the audit on page 27. And so instead of boring you to death, I'd like to just skip to questions, if that's okay.
Very good. Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason, thank you very much for being here. How long have you been on the board?
I think I've been on the board for 5.5 years, actually maybe closer to 6. As you know, if I could expand on that, I took the last less than a year term of the sitting chair, and it took me quite a while to get up to speed and learn my position on the Big Game Commercial Services Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I follow up?
You may.
Right. The only reason why I asked is because I had a question before in regard to the reason for the deficit, and I was wondering if you may be able to answer my question.
Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. I do not know either. I can speculate, though. And the board was sunsetted. I can't give you those exact dates off the top of my head. But we, without, you know, oversight by the board on making decisions on kind of legal matters of when to pursue, what to pursue, how to pursue it, I think that probably, that likely, I can only speculate, that likely had played a big role in the deficit, just more cost. So all the decisions that the board makes today, we definitely discuss costs and the burden to the overall program before we implement something.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Are there other questions for Board Chair Bunch? Mr. Bunch, I have a couple of questions. In regards to the audit finding regarding licenses being granted without all of the paperwork being filed, has the board taken action to improve those processes? What steps have the board taken to attempt to rectify that situation?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So, the Big Game Commercial Services administrative responsibilities are fairly robust, and it takes quite a lot of understanding to administer our licenses. On the surface, it wouldn't appear that way, but we have our hands in a lot of different aspects of Alaska, and we're dealing with natural resources, and natural resources are first and foremost on the tip of everybody's forefront, at least I think so. So with that in mind, knowing how difficult it is to understand the inner workings of a guide license, we need to have consistent administrative staff. And that has been a very difficult thing for the board to achieve. Every time that we get a new administrator, a new licensing examiner, or a new person to our administration, it takes a lot of training, a lot of training. And who can provide that training? Only a guide that's sitting on the board. And so, I think we have gone, I don't know the exact number, maybe the director has that number on the top of her head, but I think we've gone through something like maybe 5 or 6 licensing examiners since I became a board member. And so each one of those licensing examiners needed a lot of training. And I think we had a high degree of turnover because of, one, the administrative burden, and two, it was more a stepping stone within the division than it was a place that an employee would strive to get to. So the board has looked at that very carefully. We've discussed it over the last 3 years. And in the end, we made decisions also to put ourselves in the right spot to recommend that our executive administrator position wasn't shared by the Marine Pilot Board, but was solely authorized for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. And if you see that we have, we got ourselves out of the deficit. We have around $800,000. We only need about $600,000 to be fit to pay for anything that we're asking for. And when we did that, we held on to that licensee money to build that cushion so that we could support a full-time executive administrator. We also recommended that be a higher scale paying job because we understand the internal knowledge that administrator needs to possess, and we would like to keep them there and maintain consistent leadership between the licensing examiner and the executive administrator. I think doing so would alleviate us of some of the findings within this audit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How long has the current examiner been working with you guys and the Big Game Commercial Services Board?
Perhaps Director Rogg has the exact, time frames of that, but our current licensing examiner has been working with us for approximately 2 years, and our current executive administrator that we share with the Marine Pilots Board has been working with us perhaps, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I'm going to say 4 years, initially as the licensing examiner, and then stepped up to be the executive administrator.
Very good. Are there further questions for the board chair? Mr. Bunch, thank you very much for your testimony today.
Thank you, Sanders. We appreciate it.
We'll take a brief at ease. on the record at 2:04. At this time, I would like to open public testimony and give opportunity for anyone in the room or online who would like to speak to Senate Bill 182. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide testimony to this bill? Moving online, is there anyone online who would like to speak to the bill? Mr. Rohr, I see you online there in the Kodiak Legislative Information Office. Would you like to testify to Senate Bill 182?
Good afternoon, Senator Bjorkman. Yes, I would like to testify.
Most excellent. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Okay, thank you. Again, good afternoon, committee members. My name is Sam Rohr, for the record. I am the president of the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. Also, we go by the acronym of APHA. The APHA strongly supports Senate Bill 182 to extend the Big Game Commercial Services Board for 8 years through 2032. This board is critical to the long-term viability of the guide industry in Alaska. The APHA recognizes that it's in the best interest of the state, the public, and our profession to have well-qualified hunting guides. The Big Game Commercial Services Board maintains the testing standards and provides for oral testing for all new guides in Alaska. This helps to ensure that only qualified applicants are receiving licenses. And I'd like to say Alaska continues to have the most stringent hunting guide qualifications in all of North America. Again, this is thanks to the work of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. If this board were allowed to sunset, oral testing would not be possible and licensing standards would undoubtedly suffer. The guiding profession in Alaska is also one of the few professional licenses that don't require formal education, but instead are acquired through an apprenticeship process. This process makes our profession particularly attractive to rural Alaskan folks. This method of training guides through an apprenticeship program process that leads to written testing and oral boards is, again, only possible because of this licensing board. And lastly, the Big Game Commercial Services Board provides the only interface between the Division of Occupational Licensing and the guiding profession. Without the board, our profession has no meaningful input on the development of regulations that directly impact hunting guides. However, this isn't just an issue for hunting guides. The public also has a vested interest in how guides are regulated as well. Without the board, the public has very little opportunity to influence the regulations that control the guiding industry. Currently, the public can submit regulations to the board, they can participate in meaningful public testimony to the board, and they can participate in subcommittees at board meetings to help work through challenging issues and concern. Without the board, the public's ability to be involved in this process is severely limited. In conclusion, the APHA strongly supports the renewal of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and I ask that you'll move the board move this bill along forward today. Again, thank you for your time, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions if anyone has any for me. Thanks.
Are there any questions for Mr. Rohr? Seeing none, Mr. Rohr, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
I will hold public testimony open through our next hearing on this bill. And we'll set this bill aside for further consideration. The committee will meet again on Wednesday, January 24th, when we will hear from UAA Provost Dr. Denise Runge, and as well as we'll have a first hearing on Senate Bill 173, Authorized Handguns, School Employee/Volunteer. As there are no further business items to come before this committee, this meeting is adjourned at 2:08 p.m.